It is good to be here this morning. And I guess I've been coming here for 2 months, close to 2 months, and I just feel at home. I feel at home. When I first walked into the door and saw that little lady back there with a big smile on her face, I felt like I was home. You know, you ever feel that way? You just know. Because I tried a lot of different churches since I moved back to Elwood. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to call this home. If that's okay. Okay. All right. I was raised in the Church of God of Prophecy. If anybody ever heard of the Church of God of Prophecy. I pastored there for 16 years. Took my first church when I was a ripe old age of 23. And I thought I knew a little bit. And I found out once I got there, I knew nothing. I was a greenhorn. But you learn quick. So, but we pastored there for a while. And then we took some time off. In fact, it's been 17 years since I've been behind this pulpit. So I need some WD-40 to knock the rust off. If you know what I mean. But I've been praying, and the devil's been fighting all week long. All week long. How many has had a rough week? I'm not giving him praise, but it's just been a rough week. So rough that I even fell down my cellar steps, and I got 3 broken ribs as I stand here today. Am I in pain? Little bit. Little bit. But it's okay. But it also been a good week. I was got blessed by somebody giving me a gallon of milk. And I also got blessed on Tuesday that I got a phone call and somebody gave me a job. So it's also been a very good week. And I was excited when Pastor Sam asked me to get back into the pulpit. Scared, yeah. But I've always been scared of the pulpit. After 17 years, 16 years of pastoral, I had an old gentleman, a bishop, tell me one time, he says, Brian, when you think that you conquered this, get back on the knees and tell God you're sorry. Because we can't do it without him. It's just words if he doesn't anoint us. The word's anointed and I got to get anointed to preach this word. Amen? Amen. I like to hear the amens. I'm Pentecostal. We're Pentecostal people. So, okay. So we're not Methodists. We're Pentecostal. Uh-oh, did I hit somebody already? I don't mean, I usually pick on the Baptist. But uh-oh, there's another one, huh? Okay, I'll pick on the Church of God then. I know a little bit about them. But it is good to be here. And like I said, I'm just going to count this as my home church until you kick me out or whatever, okay? But this morning, as you can see right up there, are you ready for this? How many saved? Saved? You know what I'm talking? Saved. How many has been born again? Can I talk you out of it? Huh? Sis, I'll give you $100 right now if you just say I'm not saved anymore. You're sorry. To the bone. To the bone. I always say I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm born again and delivered. So I'm bad this morning. If you turn to it to me, with me in your Bibles, if you have it, the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at the 13th verse. If you got your Bibles and like to turn along, or it's up there. See, I like it when I hear pages rolling, so I know you're following with me. And once you got there, say, praise the Lord. If you found it. Amen. I like to hear the praises of the people. All right, it reads like this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, how many believe that? And he rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I like this part right here. For the Lord himself, not a look-alike, not a baby, but the Bible says, and the Lord himself, ain't that what that says? Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says, and comfort one another with these words. Amen? Now you're going to have to pray for me. If you don't pray for me, I'm going to be up here for 2 hours. But if you pray for me, sis, I'll be done in 20 minutes. You got a choice. Then you can go over to Christie's and get a meal and beat the Baptist people there. Amen. But I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. Like I said, I'm rusty. But I also feel God here. I feel him here. I feel him here. Amen. But this is our hope this morning. This is our hope. God has made a way of an escape for you and I. And this is our escape. Because nobody's getting out of this world alive. Unless the rapture takes place. Or if you don't believe in the rapture, because it's not in the Bible, we'll just call it the caught up. Because some people argue there is no word rapture in the Bible. True. But there's a caught up. Amen? Same thing. They just want to argue a little bit. And that's okay. I need your prayers. I want to preach this as the Lord gave me this all week. And struggled with it. Struggled with this. I want us to have a good time in the Lord this morning. Because this is our end. Right here. Amen? When we die, this body dies, but the spirit that's in man is going to live on. And it's going to go somewhere. If I read my Bible right, saints and sinners alike have endless existences. It's true. And you're going to have your five senses either in heaven or the other place, it's called hell. But God has made of a way of an escape for man that we don't have to go to that place that's called hell that was made for the devil and his angels. Amen. But if we look back, and if we go back to Genesis, chapter 6, I believe it was verse 6 through 8, something like this. I'm not going to turn to it. You can see it right up there on the board. But I want us to look about how this world is getting today. Just this past week, all these celebrities that are getting caught with sexual activities. And I'm glad they're getting caught. But this world is growing worse and worse even as we speak. And I'm thinking, Lord, how much more can we take? I'm ready to leave when you're ready to come. I want to be prayed up, packed up, ready to go at any moment. But this world and men and women, all their minds on are on evil continually, as the Bible says. God told Moses, I get them two mixed up, they must be brothers, Noah, to build an ark. I'm going to give you, Noah, a way of an escape. But you're going to have to work for it. You're going to build an ark. And I got the size that you're going to have to build it. Come on. Let's wake up. Help me preach. Help me preach. Noah, men's minds back then were on evil continually. It sounds like 2018. Same thing. Same thing that's going on. Ministers after ministers, I hear about, they preach about this, that poor old Noah, he preached 120 years, Brother Sam, and nobody got saved. I can't read in the Bible where he preached 120 years. The Bible says that God told him to build an ark for the saving of his family. That's it. It's in black and white. Go home, read it, check it out. I don't know if he preached 120 years to the people that it was going to rain. The Bible says he built an ark. And the Lord told him to go for wood. Ain't that what he said? So he brought back some wood. And he brought pine wood. And the Lord said, no, I said go for wood. You'll catch it. You'll catch it. But he built it. An amateur built the ark, him and his sons. And it had three stories. And he brought more animals in than just two by two. Read the story. Seven of them came in. What was that for? To eat. He brought in another two by two. What was that for? Sacrifice. And the other two by two was to restore the earth once the flood ceded. It's all in there. You're looking at me like I'm preaching a different doctrine. I know I'm using the King James, but I think every version will almost say the same thing. Amen? Well, you're going to get used to my type of preaching if I stay around here long enough. You know, I'm not Pastor Sam. I'm not Sister Tracy. But I'm just Brian, and I'm going to be anointed the way God has anointed me. I like a little humor. I like that in the services. I like to see some smiles on your faces. But I also want to get down to the point that God is making a way of an escape, even way back then, for Noah and his family. And they were all saved. They were on that ark for a long time. 377 days. And I can imagine Noah's wife. They went in there a week before it even started to rain. And they didn't even know what rain was. It was always dew that filled the earth to water everything. But I can imagine She's saying, my husband done flipped out now. It's been 4 days and we're sitting in this big old ark and it's not raining. Fifth day came. Noah opened the door. I'm getting out. Noah says, I don't have the key. God shut the door. And he locked it. But you know what? After a week, they started to hear the pitter-patter. And it rained. And it rained. And it kept on raining. 40 days. 40 nights. I can imagine how they felt when that old ark just lifted up off of its, you know, whatever it is. Cradle? The cradle. Lifted it off and they're just floating around. But you know what? They're safe. People kept saying, well, you know what? They probably heard the cries of the people knocking on the door. Let us in, let us in. I don't know if that's true. It's not scriptural. But people make up good stories. But I just want to preach the Bible. I just want to preach good doctrine. Amen. I don't want to be establishing a new doctrine. I want to get established in the doctrine of this Bible. If I learn how to do this, I'll make heaven my home. Amen. There's too many out there that's making different doctrines, allowing everything going on in the local churches. But there's got to be a church somewhere that's still going to preach the gospel. That's going to preach that sin is sin and hell is hot. It's got to be preached. I don't have these big long words to give you today, but I can tell you this much, Jesus saves. And He keeps. And He blesses. Amen. Even when you feel like your whole world is falling apart, He's there. And I feel like sometimes my world is falling apart. I've had a rough 3, maybe 4 years, and I know probably you are going through a lot of things. But 3 years ago, as of next month, I got a phone call at 7 o'clock in the morning that my daughter passed away. 33 years old. And yes, she's strung out on drugs. That hurts. That hurts. Last March, I buried my dad. Can't say much. He lived to be 94. Didn't have to go to a nursing home or anything. He still lived by himself. He still drove. He cooked everything. Went through 2 wives. And he was looking for a third. Must be the Italian blood. I don't know what it is. And he was a junk collector. I called him Sanford. But you talk about a strong little Italian. He'd grab those old refrigerators and throw them up in his truck like they were nothing. Sam, you know my dad. Little 5'4". Yeah. But you know what? It's been a struggle. Past year, I was sitting on the deck of my house. My wife walks out and says, I'm leaving you. Now, that was a blow. I didn't see it coming. But you know what? I lost her, so I lost my home. I'm not trying to make you feel bad for me. I'm just telling you what we're going through. And the devil could have just said, give up, quit. God don't care, but He's making a way of an escape. Amen. Through it all, through the valley, His blood's still there. He's still there. He told me He'd never leave me. He told me He'd never forsake me. He told me that. But He told me He'd be with me always. Sometimes we put an S on that, but it just says always. Even until the end of the world. You're still looking at me like I'm preaching another doctrine. But But look it up. It's in there. Alway. What does that mean? I don't know. But I know this much. It just says alway. It ain't going to make me a better Christian if I say always. And it ain't going to make me a bad person if I just say alway. I'm enjoying myself. I'm getting back into this. Amen. I need to knock the rust off. And you're the one that's going to help me knock this rust off. I need the Holy Ghost. I can't do it without Him. I can't do it without Him. I can't even walk without Him this morning. Amen. But I know this much. One day I got a way of an escape. If I got to go by the way of the grave, so be it. My buddy that used to preach, and he long gone, he was a bishop. We were the greatest friends. His favorite phrase was, sudden death, sudden glory. And he found that out because he took a heart attack in his easy chair. Sudden death, sudden glory. But I want us to be ready to go. This is what I'm trying to get across this morning. Jesus made a way of an escape for us. Jesus came and made a way of an escape. I would love to stay around one day after the rapture takes place just to see how CNN handles this one. I'm sure they'll come up with fake news. Huh? You get my drift? I don't want to stay, but I would like to stay just to hear what they have to say. I want to see what Wolf has to say about this one. Where millions and millions upon millions are gone. Huh? Think about it. I just sit down and I think, Lord, when the rapture takes place, what chaos. Airplanes falling out of the sky. Why? Pilot's gone. Maybe the whole plane's empty. Hopefully. Cars being wrecked. Why? Drivers are gone. Kids are looking for mom. Where's mom? She's gone. The mixer's still going. She was making brownies. But she's gone. Moms, dads looking for their little babies. Where are they at? They're gone. Where'd they go? Huh? Flying saucers. Yeah, I guess they would say that. I guess they would say flying saucers. The day the earth stood still. I don't know what they're going to say, but I don't want to be here to see it. I want to go home. Huh? You say, you're too young to be talking like that. No, I want to go home. I've had enough all I can handle. How many's had enough? Enough's enough. Brother, I forget your name, but it's a gentleman that keeps coughing. Jeff. Jeff, I've been calling your name out all week. You've been on my mind all week. And I said, Lord, that cough, it's just got to go. It's time. It's time, Lord. It's time just to let that healing virtue flow through that brother's body, and it's got to stop. Now. Amen. Right now. Jeff, even as you're sitting there, let it be gone. But I want you to know, you've been on my mind. I don't have to know your name. God knows your name. But I will start to learn your names. Amen. Once in a while, I'll forget. But I'll never forget a face. And I'm off my message. See what you've done? But you know what, brother? We're living in perilous times. Crucial times. Trying times. People say that I'm going to give up. And I feel like Peter. Where are you going to go? Jesus said, we all shall go away. And Peter said, where are we going? I got nowhere else to go. If I leave you, Jesus, what do I have? Then I have no hope. So don't give up on the Lord. He's our only hope. And He loves you, Brian, more than you could even imagine or think. He loves you. And I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to this Brian. But where are you going to go if you give up on Him? I got nowhere to go. Then I am lost. Totally lost. But we are living in perilous times. And we got to know that we're living there. And we got to know that Jesus is coming. But He's coming as a thief. That's what the Bible says. There it is. I'm preaching the wrong doctrine again. No, the Bible says He's coming as a thief in the night. In the night. You don't know when a thief is coming. I'm going to tell you, brother, 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm coming to your house to rob you. Okay? Now, are you just going to let me do that? You will. I picked on the wrong person. But if you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be ready for him. Huh? You'd have your 9mm, 40, 45, 50, 55. It's like an auctioneer now. But you know what I mean? But you don't know when Jesus is coming. He could come in the morning. He could come at 2 o'clock this afternoon. He could come right before the Penguins start to play. You know, I like this. Church ought to be fun. You know, and I hope you're listening, but it still should be fun. I like to have fun. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you have no joy, you have no strength. I pastored this little old black lady. She was about 80 years old, and I loved her to death. And she was going to have an operation. And I got down by her ear and I said, Sister Chambers, that was her name. That's why I called her that. Makes sense? Yeah. I said, do me one favor. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't you dare let him steal your joy. And then they took her into the operating room. And she was scared. She was old. And it's okay to call an old person old because they are. They're old lady or an old man. I call myself an old man. Well, I don't know what's old. But you know what? They brought her out. And the nurse came out and said, the family can go back and see her now. So I just stayed out because I wasn't family. But they all came back out real quick, and I'm thinking, what's the matter? They said, she wants to see you. So I went back, and she had this big old oxygen mask on all over her face. But through the mask, I could see big old crocodile tears running down her cheek. She started speaking in tongues. And the nurse didn't have no clue what was going on. Amen. The buzzers was going off. And I said, she's fine and dandy. She's just worshiping her God. Amen. He brought her through. She thought she was going to meet him that day. But God brought her through. Amen. And while he brought her through, she kept her joy. She kept that and a smile on her face and says, oh, Brother Frost, you were so right. All we got to do is put our trust and our love in Him and He'll take care of everything. Amen. Even at 80 years old, amen, laying in a bed and buzzers going off. She's praising God. And the nurse just stepped back. She had no clue. No. We didn't care. I knew what she was doing. I knew what she, I didn't know what she was saying because she was talking in the Holy Ghost. But I knew what was going on. Huh? She was supposed to be in the hospital 2 weeks after the operation. Well, she was out in 3 days. Yeah, God does hear. And He does answer prayer. I ask Him and I keep asking Him for different things. And I'm thinking, Lord, I know I'm repetitious. I know You heard me the first time. But just in case, if You didn't, I'm going to ask You one more time. You know how we are, huh? Lord, I need help here. I know, Brian. Lord, I need help here. I know, Brian. You know, I don't know how he is, but I talk to him as my friend. You know, I don't just go to him, oh, God, if it be Your will, it is His will. You know, I get on my side of my bed, I sit down, and I say, Lord, have a seat. I got to talk to You today. And I can feel Him fill that room. And if I would see that mattress go down to where He's sitting, I don't know what I'd do. But you know what? It seems like He's sitting right there. You know what I'm talking about. And He said, I'm all ears, Brian. Let's go. He knows what I have need of, but He said to ask anyhow. Huh? That's what He said. So when troubled times come, we need to have a relationship with our Father. And we need to actually talk to Him. I walk 7 miles a day. And you know what? I talked to Him for 7 miles. I said, Lord, I know I'm just rattling, but I love talking to You. I just make Him human, I guess. Huh? You know, when I was little, am I going overtime? Well, there's no charge. No charge for overtime. When I was little, I used to follow my dad around upstairs because he'd have a pocket full of change. And I'd go in the bathroom with him while he's shaving and talk to him. I'd follow him back to his bedroom and he'd throw all that change on the bed. And I'm looking at that change because there's a Milky Way bar there. You know what I'm saying? But my dad knew what I wanted all along. But he still wanted me to ask for it. And I said, Dad, is it okay if I have that change? All you had to do is ask. And we make it hard. God's saying is, all you have to do is ask. Huh? Are you ready for troubled times? Are you really ready for His coming? I want you to know that today, or get it in your mind. Are you ready to meet Jesus? That's a good question. And you have the answer. I can't give it to you. Pastor, are you ready to meet the Lord if He called you home today? That's the key. One time I was laying in bed. I was a younger Christian. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. And I felt a heaviness come onto my chest. Heavy. And a voice said to me, are you really ready? That's a good question, Lord. I hope I am. No, you can't hope. You got to know. You got to know. Without a shadow of a doubt, if He calls me today at 3 o'clock, I'm ready to go. And don't weep for me. Because that's precious in the eyes of the Lord. I know I'm giving you vegetable soup. I don't usually preach like this. I like to preach expository, but it's my first time. I got to let things out. It's been 17 years. It's been 17 years. If Brother Sam asked me to do this again, it might be better. And then again, he might never ask me again. And that's okay too. Brother, maybe he won't ask you again either. So I guess we got to go find another place. No. I love that guy back there. You love your pastor? I loved him before he was my pastor. He gave me a job. Yeah. Can you believe that? He hired me. I'll never forget one time he had me, I had to go to Zilly for some reason. I had to get a little bit of people together to go clean this place. It was on a Sunday, I think, or a Saturday. And I got all the people together, all the cleaning stuff together, went and knocked on the door, woke them up. And I said, we need the keys to the van because we're going up to Zilly. He looked at me and says, Brian, that's good, but it's next Saturday. Well, it was a good trial run anyhow. Yeah, we had a lot of good times. You know, Brother Sam, and I keep thinking, that was the 80s. Where has time gone? I remember your kids, but not this tall. They were little. They were, well, I don't know about that either. But they were knee-high to a grasshopper. But you know what? It's great to see your kids in church and serving the Lord and playing the piano and singing and all this good stuff. Amen. Amen. That's just, it's wonderful to me. I got a son out in California right now that's going to college to be in the ministry. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't like him being in California, but that's where he's at. He said, Dad, how did you learn? I said, knee college. That's where I learned. Did you get that college? Knee. Knee college. Not Lee College, not the one in Cleveland, Tennessee. But it's knee college. And I went to a school of hard knocks. But God taught me. Amen. I loved being a pastor. See, I accepted my calling to preach. I feel like that's my calling. But my job was to pastor. That's my job. My job was to take care of my sheep. Making sure you're okay. Calling you up, sis, you okay? Just worried about you. You was on my mind. Just giving you a call. I'd have called my brother back here, but he won't give me his phone number. You know what I'm saying? That's pastoring. Well, you can say amen. Thank you. I don't want to go over time. Is this okay today? I'm just sharing my heart today. That's all I'm doing is sharing my heart. Are you the timekeeper? Oh, okay. I thought you said it was time to quit. Oh, then I got all day. Yeah, I'm just sharing my heart this day. And I think that's what the Lord really wanted me to do. Just share, you know. Preaching, we've heard a lot of messages. Amen? We've heard a lot of messages. What we need is a move of God. I like it when He comes down and preaches. I like it when He talks to us, because that's God. That's God. Think about it. When interpretation and tongues come, that's God. Well, don't get too excited. I went to a church one time, and one of their members died while the church was going on. Yeah, can you believe that? We called 911, the ambulance came. And you know, they had to take 7 people out before they found the right one. Lord help me. I know. I'm 60 years old. I'm beyond help. That's young? Thank you. Thank you. Any more? Oh, well, it ain't bad. Don't fall down the steps. But I don't want a church like that. I know Pastor Sam don't want a church like that, where it's just you come, you go through the rituals of things, you go home. You know what's going to happen in church before you even get there. Oh, we're going to go there, shake some hands, and you know what? We're going to sing a few songs, and then we're going to take up an offering. Pastor's going to tell us what's going on for the week. And then he's going to preach a little wee bit, then we're going to go home. You think that disturbs the devil? Not at all. Not at all. He says, I got them. I don't have to go to that church. I can go on down the road a little bit. Because he's faithful in going to church. You know that? Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the man with the beard's name. But what, your name? Mike. He's sitting right beside you right now. Getting your mind off of the church service and get your mind on what you're going to do this afternoon. Is that true? He's just looking at me like, how does he know? But he's like that. We can be having a real good worship service and we're praising the Lord and we're lifting our hands and all of a sudden the devil comes along and says, remember Susie? Susie from the 12th grade? How did that come up? Huh? It's just the devil. Yeah, he's probably standing right here right now making a fixed gulp so I can't reach you. You know he does that? Yeah. He'll make a gulf between me and you where you're going to sleep. You could care less what's being said. But see, we got to break that. We got to break through that gulf that he fixes every Sunday so Pastor Sam can feed us and the Lord can come down and bless us and then we can have church. We can apply that to our heart and to our lives. That's what he don't want. I can stand up here and give you words and he's not afraid of anything. But when you start applying it, when you start feeling it, amen. When you're at home and worshiping and praising God there before you come to church. And then when you get here, you worship and praise some more. Because worship and praise starts at home, not when you come to church. Amen. Put on a good CD or whatever they have today. I'm not caught up on all this stuff. I still use CDs. Amen. I'm not against this worship and praise, but you know what? I'm a Southern gospel junkie. That's what I am. Some don't even know what Southern gospel is. You ever hear of Bill Gaither? Oh, no. That's what I like. And he's a very nice man. Got to meet him and sit with him and talk to him for about a half an hour. Wonderful man. Amen. Got to meet all of those gentlemen. When you go down to the quartet convention, you get to meet all your heroes. And I got to meet all my heroes. Even Jake Hess before he passed. Great man of God. Amen. But that's what I am. I'm not against any other kind of music, long as it's worshiping God. But me personally, you give me the low bass and the high tenor, and I'm in seventh heaven. Huh? And that's not even getting ready to go. That's freebie. But church, we need to start getting ready. I want the church to grow here. Huh? Don't get me wrong. I don't want just us four and no more. But we need to grow. We need to prosper. Amen. You want the church to have financial greatness and blessing? Let it grow. Let it grow. Amen. Everywhere I went, the church grew because I let God have his way. I was just me. I was like this behind the pulpit, and I acted like this when I wasn't in the pulpit. I would just wanted to be me. I wanted to be real. And that's what we need to make this Bible. This Bible is real. These men in the Bible were real. They went through heartaches and troubles and pain. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. Amen. Peter said, lo, Jesus, I left all to follow thee. And I don't think he had a real good attitude when he said that. knowing Peter the way I know Peter. I always look at Peter as a big brawny fisherman. Well, maybe you have it another way. But you know what? He had a little attitude. He was a spokesman. He stood up for things. And lo, I left all to follow thee, Lord. What's in it for me? Well, I tell you what, you're not just going to get blessings in this world, Jesus said, but you're going to have life everlasting. So Peter thought that was a pretty good deal. Who wants to live on? Well, a couple. How many wants to go to heaven? How many wants to die today? They don't show up, I know. They never show up. But you know what? If he does call me today, I want to be ready to go. Don't really have a choice, huh? No, not really. Not today, Lord. But I just wanted to share my heart a little bit today. And like I said, I love to preach, but I just felt like this is what the Lord was just wanting me to do today, to kick some rust off. And I want that because you don't know me, and I don't know you. I could be a bum off the street, but I'm not. I love the Lord with all my heart. I give Him my life for Him. Amen. I was raised in church. I was born on Saturday and in church on Sunday. Amen. I cut my teeth on the back of the pews. My mom used to make a bed for me underneath the pew because the church service was going to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. Holy Ghost was still blessing. She'd look down at me and she said, "Where'd you get that gum?" "Up here underneath the pew." So I'd put that back and I'd get me some juicy fruit. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're too young to remember all that. But I remember church services going till 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and nobody was ready to go home. Now, if it reaches 12 o'clock, we're squirming in our chair. But I remember those days. I remember the preacher wouldn't even get up to start preaching till 9 o'clock. Why? Because God was moving until then. Huh? We need to get back to those times. We got God on a timetable. If you don't move between 8 and 9, just sorry. You know? And I know we're not like that. I've been in some good services here already. I'm glad to see some people getting healed. Some people getting saved. We need to thank God for that. You know, we pass it off like, well, so-and-so got saved. No. They're having a party in heaven when someone gets saved. The angels in heaven rejoice over just one being saved. Huh? Somebody gets healed? Oh, well, that's cool. You know, healings don't keep people. Salvation does, though. You know, you can get healed and in a couple weeks we're rejoicing with you, sis, but after that, it's wore off. But once you got saved and know that your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life, man, that's where I want my name. I don't want it on no Moose Club. I don't want it at the Eagle Club. Come on. I don't want my name in those kind of places. I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope I didn't pick on anybody for the Eagle Club. But I don't want to belong there. Hmm? No, I know I'm old-fashioned, I guess. I like the old-time way. We used to sing an old song that says, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know." Hmm? I thought some of you older ones would agree with me. I'm in that group when I say the older ones. Huh? I want that again. I long for that. I remember as a child and still growing up that we went to youth camp and we'd see the Shekinah glory come down and the blue mist and the blue haze would come. And people would just get under it and they'd be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many's ever seen that? You've seen that? Amen. I tell you what, it was so thick I couldn't even see the brother in front of me, and he was standing right here. I want that again. How do we get there? Let's pray. I don't know how else to get there but to pray and get a hold of God and get that closeness. He says, I'll stick to you. I'm closer than a brother with you. But where are you? I was driving one day with my wife, and she was on the other side. She goes, what happened, hon? I said, what do you mean? She says, well, when we were just going together, or if we first got married, well, we sat so close together while you were driving. What happened? I said, well, I looked over. I said, well, I'm sitting where I always sit. So who moved? Right? It's true. Who moved? I'm still sitting right here. Thanks. But we need to keep moving back to Him. We need to keep moving over to Him. Because He hasn't moved. He's in the same place as He always was. And I'm going to be quiet now. But I want you to know something. If you don't know, are you saved this morning? That's my question to all of you. Are you saved? Or can I talk you out of it? Huh? Are you saved, sis? Are you saved this morning? Amen. She didn't have to say, I think so. I am. I am saved. Sis, you saved this morning? Amen. We got to know that we're saved. Brian, you saved? You sure? Okay. Just checking. Just check. Chris, you saved? You sure? You don't have to whisper. Is this okay, Pastor? You sure? I loved your flock. And I'm glad I'm part of this flock. So I can come in and sit down back over there and just enjoy myself. I like getting here, scooting up to the table, getting ready to eat what He has prepared. Yeah, we need to eat what He's prepared. Hope it ain't burnt. And it sounds a little bit funny, but you know what? We in the Church of God, we had a gentleman called the General Overseer. And I got to sit down and talk with him. And every year it was called a General Assembly, where the whole church would gather together in one place. That was Cleveland, Tennessee, and would have a week of services. But every time the overseer got up to preach, which he was dynamic, the whole place was packed. 17,000 people. And I said, Brother Murray, I called him that because that was his name. I said, Brother Murray, how do you prepare for 17,000 people? How? He says, well, let's just say there's 5,000. I said, no, every time you preach, it's packed. It's 17,000. I said, what do you do? He says, well, I look that I got 17,000 hours of God's people. He says, I better have something on the table to feed them. Huh? Because if you went to a restaurant this afternoon and you ordered, but they didn't give you anything, would you go back? No. Would you leave a tip? No, you wouldn't go back, and they lost a customer. They lost a tip. Pastor Sam, when we preach, I don't care if it's 40 people. That's 40 people. That's 40 hours of God's people. And we need to feed them as such. Or whoever's up here. Sunday school teachers. It doesn't matter. They need to be prepared for who's here. I don't care if it's just 10. Amen? Is this okay? Huh? Is this okay today? I know it's different. I know that. I understand that. But I'm just being Brian today. And you'll find me out. I like to have fun. I like to carry on. But I also take this very serious. It's because it is serious. This is serious business, what we're in. And I love you today. I love yous today. Yous, is that okay to say? Okay. Well, I'm just Western Pennsylvania. That's all I am, you know. I've never been to college. Well, I went through four colleges, matter of fact. Four of them. In the front door and out the back. But I've been through college. Never mind. But, you know, I'm just me. If I say Ewens, that's just Pennsylvania. I preach down south. You ought to see their jaws drop when I said Ewens and Ewenses and all that stuff. They didn't know what to think of this old Yankee. You know? But I'm just me. And that's all we can be is me. God loved me for just who I am. And He saved you just the way you are. He don't want you to change. Huh? Because you can win people that I can't. Everybody's got a job to do. Ain't that the truth? You know people that I don't know. I might not fit in with your crowd, but you do, and you can win them. I talked to Pastor Cimbala. You ever hear of Pastor Cimbala? He pastors probably the nicest church in New York. He has a little choir called the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You never heard of that? Huh? He is a fantastic man. He's not on TV. He told me, I ain't got time for TV. My church is growing too fast. And out of that one little church, he has planted 25 other churches out of that one church. And when he got there, it was a 250-seat auditorium and 15 people was there. And he said, Lord, I think you made a mistake. What am I here for? Lord said, you just preach the word and I'll fill the church. And it's filled. And he keeps taking people out of that church. He's not afraid to lose people because once they get out and plant another church, guess what? God sends more people in. He's a great man of God. Look him up. He's on YouTube. But you'll not see him on TV. You know, I mean, I love you today. I'm going to let you go home. Does that sound good? Let's all stand. I hope I was a little bit of a blessing today. And you know what? I'm going to ask the youngest man here to dismiss us in a word of prayer. This gentleman right here. Yep. Yeah, well, I thought I'd make you feel good. Amen. Yes, Jesus.